There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome.
And now we'll rise. this morning. How many of y'all just enjoyed that song this morning? Amen. My goodness. And Brother Tony just picking that guitar, and I wish I could do that. I could pick it, but it don't sound good. I'll tell you what, I've said this a few times, you know, once we get on the other side and you'll hear just the most awful squalling you ever heard singing Amazing Grace, you'll say, well, praise God, Brother Daniel made it. you know, that's definitely me. And I'll tell you what, I just love the Lord. I like to make a noise to Him, and I like to sing to the Lord. You know, I'm not any good at it, but there's something inside me that likes to express that love that I have on the outside of me, because I want somebody else to feel that I have.
Amen.
And if you got something good, you want to share it with your friends. You know, you want them to try it. You know, if it's a food, you want to try the food. You got to try this restaurant. It's good because you want them to experience it. And my wife and I, we got to go to Grand Canyon here a while back, and it was a blessing because there's times that I've been in Honduras or Nicaragua, and particularly Honduras, there's certain places I'd be on a certain mountain going somewhere, and I'd stand on the mountain, I'd look across, and there'd be something inside me. I said, I wish my wife could be here to enjoy this with me. And Grand Canyon, she got to enjoy it with me, and it was a real blessing. So,
if you'd like to,
you're certainly welcome to. And I want to just turn to the scriptures, if you don't mind, Romans chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And I tell you what, I've really tossed and wrestled with myself and what I was going to name this morning. And initially I was thinking, you know, I was going to ask you the question, are you married to Christ? And that's kind of the direction it was going. And this morning I felt the Lord kind of lead me, we'll just leave it at, I stand at the well and knock. I stand at the well and knock. And let's go to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law have dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak to my friends this morning, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to help us to simply believe your word, Lord, because that is the power, that's the victory of the believer, is believing your word, Lord. Touch each one today, Lord, whether over the Facebook live feed, Lord, or in this room, Lord, wherever it may be, Lord, may your word be a penetrating word with anointing, Lord, that will bring a fire on the inside of us, Lord. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like to. And I'm going to go to one more scripture. It's in St. John chapter 6, verse 67 and 68. And Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, a lot of people in this world today, they claim to be the bride of Jesus Christ. They claim to be the church. They claim to be the ones that God's going to come to. And down the ages, people have missed God. They've missed the coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jesus can't marry somebody that's already been married before. That's as long as that spouse is dead. And what I want to try to point at is in the scriptures, we're talking about a woman whose husband, if she's just divorced from that husband, and she's gotten married, if she goes to the supermarket or something like that, she's going to see that man. And that can bring feelings, and that can be a flirtation, that can be all kinds of things, but for in order for her to truly, lawfully be able to be married, that guy has to die.
That's right.
There has to be a death. And in a Christian experience, you know, you can't have, people want to be married to Jesus Christ. I want to be Christ, but if the old man is still alive, you can't be married to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There's got to be a death. There's got to be a death to an old man. And the Brother Brown, he taught us through the scriptures how that in the church, the woman is the top of the church. If you want to see what your church is, and look at the women. Look at how the women conduct themselves, the way they dress. And I thank the Lord for the sisters we have in this church. I think they carry themselves well, the way you conduct yourself, and we sure do appreciate that. But you know, a woman is given virtues, and she's given responsibilities that no animal will ever be given.
Right.
You know, a deer can go out there with the buck, and you know, if she was to have a relationship, we'll say, with this buck, and the next year she has a relationship with another buck, well, that's not adultery for her because she's an animal.
Right.
It's a different standard. You see what I'm saying? She can have that relationship because it's not a woman is put on a different standard. And the thing about it is also in the animal life, there is a sacredness that compared to the woman versus that animal is because she can cheat on her husband. A woman can cheat on her husband by not conducting herself right. There's virtues that are given in a woman that is not on a man. Man can, there's, you know, he's a little different in that way because a man can do an act and he can, I'm trying to say this in a way because we have a mixed audience. A man can do certain things in this life and he can truly be justified because you'll know nothing ever took place. And I'm talking about intimately. But a woman, there's different. A woman can have an intercourse, and she, though she can be forgiven, she can never be justified. What I mean by justified is because there's an evidence that something had taken place. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So a woman is put on top of a higher level. A woman is given the ability to where she can be higher than any other thing in the world, but she also has the ability to be the lowest thing in the world.
That's right.
She could become what can be the probably, I hate to say the word, the nastiest thing on earth is a filthy woman. A woman that doesn't clean herself. A woman that doesn't live clean. A woman that doesn't do these things. And Brother Tony kind of mentioned about, we were talking in the back office, and he mentioned even last service, how that some folks will try to, they'll hold true to certain things. And they'll say, I'm a Christian. I hold on to this. I'm a believer. And for the example, I'm going to say abortion. Okay? And you've got riots that goes on in the world, and people will say, I am against abortion. I'm against these things. I am a Christian. We're going to do a march for Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We're believers. God is with us. We're moving forward. And that's what they hold on to is, we're against abortion. We're against these things.
Right.
But if you look at the rest of their life, nothing else lines up with the Word. The only thing they're standing on, the only thing they're looking at is we're for abortion. So they'll say it with tears, and trust me, I'm against abortion. I don't believe in it whatsoever. I'm not condoning it in any way. What I'm saying is they have certain parts of their life that's okay. Certain parts, I'm going to say it this way, certain parts of their life, the old man's dead.
Right.
Certain parts of their life, everything's okay. But the vast gasp of thing is there has to be a true death to the old man. And I want to read you a quote that Brother Brennan says about this. Paul here is giving an illustration in our scripture about the law and grace and is illustrating it like marriage and divorce. This passage is very seldom preached on because it's more or less pertains to like marriage and divorce. But it also pertains to a greater portion of marriage and divorce of how that he's trying to set in order here that we as a church can no more be married to the world and to Christ at the same time and be legal and lawful about it that it can be for the woman to be living with a husband while she's got a living husband. And I have my own thoughts on that. I believe what the Bible says about that truth. And then one other quote I want to bring forth is, for it's by grace we're saved, not by what we can do. We can, whatever we do, it's not counted on us. Grace is, it's grace that saves us. It's by grace you're saved through faith. May I add to this woman grace, may I place her in the Bible also called the elect lady. This Miss Grace I'm going to talk about, you know, the Bible declares this, the elect lady. That if you notice, elect come from the word elected lady. One lady amongst all other ladies was elected, like the virgin was to bring forth the body of God on earth. She was an elected woman. God chose Mary. And also, God has chose an elected lady, which is his bride. She's elected. I hope we're members of that tonight across the world, across the nation. Mary didn't just wake up one day and said, you know what, I think I'll give birth to Jesus Christ. Mary didn't have something preoccupied idea of something in her own physical abilities that says, you know what, I'm going to bring forth the king. Because you look back in that time, there was a lot of other people, if you look at it on the appearances, and say, that's where Jesus would come. If Jesus comes, he's going to come from this church here. If Jesus comes, it's going to come this way here. But what did he do? He went to the filthiest city of all the world.
Right.
And went to a woman that she didn't choose it. Mary chose it. Or Mary didn't choose it. God chose it. Mary didn't wake up and say, do it. She was an elected lady that God predestined that she is going to receive the word.
Amen.
It was nothing in her own physical abilities. And no more that you have a physical appearance of it or a feeling of it. You didn't have anything in it that God would spark something inside your heart. You know, Brother Branham talked about one time, he went to this this big farm, and that's where they would have the bulls, they would breed the animals. And Brother Branham talked about how that they showed him under the microscope. On this microscope, they put the egg and the sperms of the bull, and they put it under the magnifying glass of the microscope. And as they were looking in there, you would see the egg, and you'd see the sperms going there, and literally millions of little bulls were inside this magnifying glass. I keep saying microscope. I keep saying the wrong word. Millions of bulls were chasing, going towards this egg. Millions of them were going through that. But if out of all those millions, there's only going to be one of them that's going to make the connection. There's going to be only one of them that's going to be the bull. I'm going to say the bull, the one that's going to be born. And the point I want to make is, and all those million bulls going toward it, it wasn't the first one necessarily that got there. It wasn't the second one that got to it. It wasn't the third one. It may not even been the 500th one that got to it. But there was one, and out of all those million, that was the elected one that God chose before the foundation of the world that said, you will be the bull that will be born this day. And that bull, even though he had nothing to do with it, it was an overcomer. There was all kinds of other bulls. There was other parts of sperm that could have got there that you would think, that's going to be the one that's going to make it, but you find out it wasn't. And what the point I'm getting, it's when you have the truth. A lot of times, it's not the first person that gets to it and receives it. Now, when I say receives it, there's part of it that receive it to their mind, but there's nothing down in their heart that changes. So there's a lot of people that walked with the prophet. There's a lot of people that could give you testimonies with the prophet. But I'm here to tell you, out of one in a million, there was one of them that not only made a connection to it, but it brought forth life.
Amen.
And that's what it is. Now through the ages, it wasn't just the first person. It was an election. God had an election before the foundation of the world that this, even though there's going to be millions of other bulls that's going to go, one in a million is going to be the one that I chose. And you know, whenever the children of Israel were in the bondage in Egypt, 2 million come out going into the wilderness. But out of those 2 million, one in a million made it. One in a million out of all the people that come out of Egypt. They were there during Goshen. They had seen all the taskmasters. They had gone through all the journey of the wilderness. And I want you to catch the picture of what we're saying. These children of Israel were in a bondage, and God was fulfilling a plan that God sent a deliverer to bring them out. They were a part of that journey. You realize Dathan was a part of the journey?
Yeah.
Dathan. If you know your Bible, if your Bible readers, you know Dathan's one that turned to Israel and looked at Moses and said, you're not the only holy one among us. You take too much on yourself, Moses. You're not the only holy one. We can all hear from God. And what happened to him? God opened the earth up and swallowed him up.
He was a part of the journey. Just because you're one of the first bulls that gets to it doesn't make it. That doesn't matter. Dathan touched the egg. You see what I'm saying? But out of one in a million. Once you catch this, God was bringing the deliverance. God brought a message. God brought a prophet. And doing this, all he had to do was receive God's word and rest. Scripture says they could not enter in because of their unbelief. They could not enter that rest because of their unbelief. God met their needs. God, their shoes never wore out. God gave them food. God gave them fresh manna on a daily basis. God met all their needs. But you know what they did? They complained. One of our worst enemies that we have is ourselves. You say amen? A lot of times our own words, we beat ourselves up. We're our worst enemy. Because what you say, what you confess, has a lot of how your day is going to be. How are you doing today? Horrible. How's your day going? Terrible. Even if things ain't going right, say a positive testimony. It's great. God's good all the time. You know what? Because we are caught up in heavenly places. We are God's people, not because we feel it, not because we look like it, because God's election has called us to that. If you were to look by feelings, look at the victories, the battles we're going through, if you look at that, we can look at John on the Isle of Patmos. We'll say he's absolutely God bullied for 24 hours and he never died. Praise God, he must be a God's anointed. But what about the ones that died? What about Stephen? Stephen got stoned. Stephen died. What about him? Could we say, well, he must not have been in heavenly places. You imagine asking Stephen how you're feeling right now while they're throwing rocks at him?
Right.
I don't mean to say it's funny, but honestly, think about it. We're talking about he was stoned, and I believe that had an effect on Paul because Paul talked about it many times after that.
Amen.
They stoned him, and Paul was right there. But you know what? He was in heavenly places. Even though he was in the trial, even though he was, if you were on a mountaintop, if you're in a valley, you're still in heavenly places when you believe this word.
Amen. That's right.
And that's where it's at. And I told Brother Tony, like we were talking in the back, I said, Brother Tony, have you ever realized this? Victory is in believing. Whether you are a believer or you're an unbeliever, victory is in believing. You're, as a believer, you, by believing this word, that's what gives you victory. If you are an unbeliever, you're believing the lies of the devil. And that's what gives you victory as a evil person.
That's right.
You believe a lie. But the difference is, you know, devil can't create. All he can do is pervert. All he can do is copycat God. And that's exactly what he does. He gets people to believe a lie. Yeah. But we believe God's word. We believe his word. And that's what gives us victorious. So out of one in a million, out of all the children of Israel, there was two that truly believed God. True, that would not just do the token. Not just follow the prophet for a little while. And, you know, God would meet their needs and they would complain. God, they would complain so much over what God's doing. God's meeting all their needs and all they do is complain. And God, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But God, when God gave them a victory of showing them, hey, we'll put the pole and the brazen serpent up. And all you got to do is turn over to the serpent or to the brazen pole and look for the judgment and these fiery serpents would die. God, I'm trying to say this, and even in the midst of all these journeys, these people were a part of that. I don't care about just being part of the journey, friends. I want to be one of the million. I don't want to go just as far as Kadesh Barnea. I want to go all the way across and to the borderline. You see it, man? I don't want to have just a form of godliness where I only go so far in this walk with the Lord. I got to make sure my old man is dead so I can bring a proper form. And I'm going to turn a corner here just a little bit. And choosing a wife and choosing a bride, a man needs to think very wisely. Because that wife that he chooses, she is going to be a manifestation of everything that he is. And so if it's done right. If you take a woman that truly loves her husband and truly in the right pattern of that, she's going to lay her life down and she's going to take his life. And then she's going to manifest everything that he is. And if you want to see what a man is, you've got to look at his wife. Because the way she acts, the way she conducts herself, that is a direct reflection of who he is. When I first started my job at Breed and Dodge, nobody had ever met my wife before whatsoever. But you know, I talked about how pretty she is, how short she is. And they don't know anything about my wife. And when she came to meet me one day, and I wasn't there, I was on a test drive, and she left. I come back, and they said, Daniel said, a little short lady come inside here. She was about yay tall. She did such and such. She did such and such. As there's no doubt in our mind, that was your wife. I didn't have to be there and point and say, hey, this is her. She manifested everything that my word said that she would be. My word said she's this tall, she's this tall, she's this, she's the most beautiful lady in all the world. She's all these different things. I painted the picture through my word. And my word was just words that were spoken. But she come and she stepped forward. And she didn't have to say a single word.
Amen.
Because she was that word.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, friends, down the ages, this word has been preached. It has been preached. The word is going to be this. The word is this. The word is this. And one day, Jesus walked up there and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It was no longer just words in the air. It was an actual manifestation where she was actually going to take the word and become that word. Jesus become that word. And friends, I'm here to tell you, we are becoming that word.
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ. But we have to believe in who we are. And it's not the first person that gets to the word. I don't care about being the first one. I don't care if you've been a believer for 15 seconds. If you believe this word, you get the same reward. Amen.
Yeah,
so if you say, but anyway, I ain't been really doing it. Won't you start right now? And man, start manifesting what this word says, that you, the word says you'll be. I've got another scripture. But Graham says this. He says, notice this character. When you see a woman just go on the rampage, just doing anything they want to do, watch. The church is doing the same thing. Notice. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, watch that again. You see how that the Scriptures at that time, there will be a message sweep out to catch that bride, catch that woman elect. For as the world, Satan, the deceiver, who deceived the first bride to sinning against God by misbelieving his word, and now today, as we see the church natural in your intellectual gospel, going further and further away from the word in social gospel, we find that the woman of the world on the streets, members of such as carrying themselves in the same atmosphere, you can't tell them. They've lost all sense of common decency. The people have, see? And that's the way the church has. And you can see it going straight to the ecumenical council, just as certain as anything in the world, and right into Rome as hard as it can go, see? Because it's prophesied. And there she is. That's her behavior. But then watch again to the spiritual church. How that the group of people called out, elected through every revival in Martin, Luther, it happened the same way in Reformation. It happened the same thing in the time of John Wesley. It happened the same thing when Pentecostal first started. They dropped that woman right back in line with the word, and then they drift away. There she goes right back over into chaos. But then the time that the people are ready to line up, there is a message come forth, and they line with it. Luther was the messenger of one day of justification. The church lined right with it, some of them. The rest of them continued on. Wesley come in sanctification. The church lined right with it. Pentecost come with the restoration of the gifts. The church lined right with it. The elect of that day. And then faded away. Went right back off into denominationalism and went right back out with the rest of them, all of them right down along the line. But now, if you notice, when the people begin to try to line with the word, there comes a fresh message from the word of God right straight to the people, and they catch that message and line up every time. It's just God we have. You say, amen. God will send a message for a people that are truly believing the word. They're not going to start with the word and then stop somewhere. That's where in the famous words where Jesus said it in the 6th chapter of St. John, Jesus, talking to him, he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, or you have no part of him. And the scripture says, and many walked with him. And Jesus looked at him, he says, will you also go away? And Jesus says those famous words, he says, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I want to go to a scripture I've given to my wife. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I want to stop for just a second. If it made the dog sick the first time, why in the world would it go back and eat it? But not only eat it in the vomit of it. Right. I know it sounds very gross.
Yes.
But we're talking about a people that once had truth, once walked with the truth, once were part of the journey, but they wanted to go back to the thing that got them sick in the first place. Okay, go to the next one. That's one, okay. You're talking about a people that had been given a truth, given a word, and then when they heard the message, and they said, you know what, I'm so glad I've been bound by this denominational thinking. I've been bound by the denominational way. I've been bound by these things. Thank God for the victory. And they begin to come out of the denomination, come out of the teaching, out of the creeds, out of these things. And they start walking in truth for a season. They're a part of the journey. But that old man never died.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, they never died. Because I'm telling you what, if it's dead, you can't go back to it. I can have a person dead laying right here, and you can slap him all you want, and he ain't going to do nothing. You know why? He's dead. The old man has got to die. You cannot have a husband that your old man. You can't just divorce him. Because if you just divorce him, guess what happened? He can rise up all the time, and that flirtation can take place. God is not going, Jesus Christ is not going to marry a bride that he has to argue with every day of his life.
Right.
He's not going to have a house where the woman doesn't know her position. He's not going to have a house where the woman, she said, you know, you're not going to tell me how I live my life. You're not going to tell me what I can do. You're not going to tell me these things. God's not going to do that. God is going to take a wife. He's going to choose a wife that will believe his word, that will respect his word, that will respect his propitiation. But we have to respect, I can't say this enough and clear enough, we have to respect the request that God has given us to be. Honor that and stuff. Don't take it lightly. I just kick myself so many times whenever we go to marriage seminars and we go to these different things, and these men will and women will talk about how romantic their proposal was. Oh, I just kicked myself. The wind was blowing, the sun was coming, the waves of the ocean were moving such and such, and he got down on one knee and, will you marry me? And when you see those things, all I can do is kind of slowly look over at my wife and it's like, I am so sorry. It wasn't nothing like that. My wife and I, we were on our way to church, and I just looked over and I said, we're getting married. She said, okay. and that was it, you know. But you know, she had been thinking about it for a long time, and I had thought about it for a long time. It wasn't something we took lightly. It's just I'm not a real romantic person. I want to be, but I'm just not any good at it. And we went with some friends one time after we were married, and we went to a restaurant, and my wife sat down, and I sat down, and he walked up, and he pulled the chair out for her. She sat down on the chair and scooted the chair up. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just not a real romantic person. I try to be. I'm just not a real romantic person. But I did take my vows very seriously. Before I ever would do, I'm telling you what, I sweated it out, I thought it out, I prayed it out, and I said, oh God, I do not want to make a mistake. I want it to be one time and done. And I really sought God because it was a serious thing. And I'm here to tell you, I wasn't going to date around. I didn't want to date people. And I had teachers that I respected very much. They seen my life turn around when I gave my heart to the Lord, because I lived a completely different life. But when I gave my heart to the Lord and I started really serving, started really reading my Bible, they said, Daniel, I want you to meet some Christian girls that I know. I want you to come to our church. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I said, I'm not going to date. I said, and this is what I said. Scripture says every word will be justified, not by words you'll be condemned. My words, it's the truth. I said, next girl I date will be the girl I marry. That's what I told her. I said, next girl I date will be the girl I marry. I said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested whatsoever. I said, God is going to provide it to me. He's going to reveal to me who my wife is. And my thing is, I wanted someone that would respect my name. That's what I wanted. I want someone to respect my name and be a mother. And I thank the Lord for my wife. To give me. She's been a wonderful, wonderful partner, a wonderful wife, a wonderful mother. I say this to say that when you go choose a bride, it's a serious thing. You don't just, like the world says, date around a little bit. Try and see what you like. You don't do that.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, you don't do that. And as a Christian, we don't date, we court.
Right.
That's right. Courting, that means you have a chauffeur between. And I believe God will bless that. If you walk in those statutes, I believe God will bless that. Because you know what? The sex gland on the woman or on a person is on their lips. You know, Brother Graham talks about you can kiss them on the hand, and that would be okay, because there's not a sex gland on the hand. But he said, you don't kiss them on the lips, because that is a very serious thing. But you know the thing about today, on the magazines, the television, all these different things, what are they always doing? You see them kissing on the hands? I doubt very often. You know, most of the time, it's on the mouth. Well, the reason they're doing that, that's putting it in people's minds, people's heads, to where they do that automatically. They think that's acceptable, but that's not acceptable. No, that wasn't the word divorce. Used to be a bad word. It's still a bad word, but you know what I'm saying? It's freely. Used to, if you were going to say the word divorce, you would say that, like, the D word, you know? It was a serious thing. You don't talk about it, because that's how evil it was looked upon. Divorce. But today, over 80% of the people that get married will end up in divorce.
Right.
Because they don't, whenever they go to this marriage, when they do this, they take it lightly. They don't see it through. It's, well, you just try it, see how it does. Or they'll say, live with them for a little while. That's the worst advice. And we're talking in churches, they'll say that. Try living with one another, because God will, I think God would rather you see you split up like that than to go through a divorce. Don't reason with God's word. Amen. God's institution of marriage is so sacred. It's so wonderful. It's so sacred. It needs to be thought out. It needs to be something serious. Brother Graham said this way, I did this whenever I was praying. Brother Graham said, I was saying, God, how can I know? How can I know that Vicky's the one? I know that in my heart I said it, but I want to know, God. How can I know? Brother Graham said, if you can live without her, you better not. If you can live without her, you better not. If you can't live without her, you better marry her. And I really like how I've come to the point, like, okay, God, I got to marry her. And then I got the nervousness, the hands sweating and everything, and finally I just did the only thing that I knew to do, we're getting married. Okay. I say that marriage is the most sacred thing, because a woman is the most wonderful thing that she can be. She can be the best thing a man can have next to his salvation, is his wife. A godly wife. And I say that because we're talking about the church. Because you know that wife, the best thing she can ever do for her husband is give him a child. When she gives him a son, she'll raise that son exactly the way he is. But you know, well, the biggest thing that today, what we already mentioned in the service, one of the biggest things today is abortions. A woman would rather have an abortion today than to have a child, because it changes her figure. It changes the way she can live her life. Because I'm here to tell you, you have a child, your life will change if you're a good mother. But the thing about it is, today, in today's world, I know it may sound like I'm talking about women, but I'm really talking about the church. And today, you have more grandparents raising children than the parents do. It's because that child, that mother, she took that relationship that should have been reserved for a husband and wife, done the right way. But because she didn't do that, she wants to live her own life. She don't want to take the form of a mother. Because you take the form of a mother, change. Hips will get a little wider. You walk a little different sometimes. You have aches where you didn't used to have aches anymore. And the way you conduct your life is different. Your life changes. And I'm here to tell you, whenever you take a church, a believer, someone that receives a birth, your walk will change.
Amen.
Your form will change. The church in the natural, if you was to look at the natural eye, you look at this little church where you got just a few people, and you look at the one down the street, they'd say, that church is dead. There's not, why do they say it's dead? Because there's not a whole lot of people. There's not a whole lot of people in that. You got a lot of churches, got a lot of people. But I'm going to ask you something. Where's the word at?
Right.
When has God ever judged a church by the members? When has God ever judged a church according to the nice buildings? When has God ever judged a church by works? I'm here to tell you, you won't put works on it. The Jehovah's Witness got us all beat. They'll knock on doors when it's hot, it's cold. But this right here, friends, is what is the church that Christ marries. It's when she will give forth a child, when she will receive his name in the right way and manifest his child, his word. And I'm going to talk to you about a few just illustrations. Let's go to Esther chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 10. And this is talking about Vashti. How this king was a great king. Let's just read it. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizda, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zether, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people that the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandments by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within him. We're talking about a king that had this wonderful celebration on the seventh day, seventh church age.
Yeah.
He said, I want my wife to come forth. She can be on display for everybody to see my choosing. This last day, not the first age, not the second age. We're talking the last day, the seventh day. The king says, come, my bride, come forth. Let them see everything that I am. And Vashti refused to do it. Vashti refused to display what God was doing in his life.
Right.
And because he did that, if you don't mind, look at that scripture. Can you pull all the scriptures up on that one? That's all right, if you can. That's fine. That's no problem. What I was going to show you there is the king actually talked to the people and said, what should I do? And they said, what's going to happen is everybody all around is going to do exactly what she did to their husbands. They're going to look to her. Let's read it. Now it come to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all of his princes and his servants in the power of Persia, Media, and nobles and princes of the province being before them. When he showed the mercies, showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellency, majesty, many days, even 104 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto all the great and small, 7 days in the court of the guard of the king's palace. There were white, green, blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to the silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold, silver upon pavement, red, blue, white. This wasn't just a short get-together. This is something that the king had the best of the best of the best to provide all these things because he is going to display something. And they give them drink in vessels of gold, vessels diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizda, and we read all those names, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with a royal crown to show the people and the princes their beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the, I want you to remember this word, as we're going to go to the next scriptures a little bit, she refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shechar, Adma, Tarshish, Mirs, Marcena, and Mumakim,
the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat at the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. Once you stop thinking about this, how many women looked up to Queen Elizabeth when she was alive? Remember, I say that when they looked at her, what she wore, they wanted to wear. The way she did her hair, they wanted to do their hair. Anything that she did, they want to do it because they want to mimic the queen. But here, what they're talking about here is when they see the way this woman conducts herself, if you let her stay in that position, everybody else will want to follow just like her. And that's why he could not let her stay in the position she was in. Let's watch this. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported that King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia, Media, say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let her go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus. Let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. He's saying, I am not going to allow her to pervert my word. I am not going to allow her. Think this. If he would have honored this queen by letting her be a rebellious wife, if he would have honored her by allowing her to disrespect his word, if he would have honored her, everybody, all the women underneath them would have followed that same suit. They would disrespect their wives, they would disrespect their homes, and whenever their husband says, I want this, I ain't doing that, I'm going to follow exactly like Vashti did. Vashti don't listen to her husband, I'm not listening to you. That's exactly right. The way the mother and a wife conducts her husband inside the home, if the way she does it, the children will follow. I'm here to tell you, the king and queen is like a mama and papa over all the kingdom. And the way they conduct themselves, that's exactly how they're going to conduct themselves. That king had a decision to make. Do I pervert my word? Do I give in and say, okay, I can't have that perfect bride. I can't have that perfect wife. This is the best I've got. I'll have to just deal with it. Do I accept Vashti and say, this is all I can do and let my whole kingdom be perverted? Or do I put her away and get one in a better position than she? You think about the church world, how the word has been going down through the ages, friends. How they would give her the word and all these different things. And they said, you know what? I'm not going to let the old man die. The woman will still wear pants. They'll still bob their hair. Men will go out in shorts. They'll do all these different things. You conduct yourself like the world. It's a shame, friends, that whenever in some churches you look at it, you can't tell the Christian or the non-Christian. Now, I realize when you first give your heart to the Lord, I understand there's things about you that's not going to line up exactly right because you have to have time to grow. But I'm here to tell you, in time, if you don't start seeing changing, there's something wrong. They'll find out what's wrong with it. And God could have looked at that Pentecostal age of where how they'd gotten so far away from all the other churches, just exactly like they did. They got away from the Word. God could have said, you know what? I guess I'll have to settle. This is all I can do. This is all I have. No, God's not going to settle. Because God has a bride that's going to follow His Word. Amen. Let's go into this a little further. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all of the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writings thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language. I want you to remember this, where it talks about where every man should bear rule in his own house. And may he say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what's wrong with a lot of homes today is father
husband won't stand up to the plate and say, no, we're not doing this. As for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. You want to live like the devil? You go over there and do it. You're not doing it in this house. Because he's going to hold the token over that home. I'm here to tell you, this is the last day, the only age where we can truly apply the token. To where we can take the word. We have the fullness of the word of God given to us. And whenever we accept that word in propitiation that God gave us, then we apply it to that word. We apply it to our home. Anybody that is in this house, it reminds me of the circumcision of Abraham. Abraham was given a commandment, you circumcise every man child, anybody over 8 days old. Anybody, they must be circumcised. Any man child, any child that comes into your home, any servant, any of these, all these men must be circumcised. Right. If they're not circumcised from this day forward, this self same day, they're going to be cut off. And the scripture says this self same day, Abraham circumcised. And I'm here to tell you, you think about a hard message. You think we get some hard message. Imagine getting that message that day.
Right.
Where he preached that message. He said, men, listen up. You're going to be circumcised today.
What?
Yes, you're going to be circumcised. If you want to be a part of this covenant, according to this promise, you're going to be circumcised. And I'm here to tell you, there's got to be a spiritual circumcision that's got to take place, friends. Anything that's in the home, anything that's brought in the home, everything must be circumcised.
Amen.
By this. Brother Brent talked about the filter. Thinking man's filter. He said he's out in the deer woods. He found a cigarette bud. And he said, seeing that little bud there, he said, it's a filter. It really brought him to mind of a thinking man's filter. You want to ask, you want to say, Brother Daniel, is this right to do this? Can it fit through this filter? Can a woman wearing pants fit through this filter? No. Can a man wearing shorts wearing this? No. Can a woman cut her hair? No.
Right.
Can you get married again while you've got a living husband? No. Can Trinity and the Godhead work? No. Can Trinity and the baptism? No.
Right.
That's right. This is the filter. This is the God. It's got to line up with this. And you talk about a hard message that must have been, says you've got to be circumcised.
Right.
Because if you're not, listen to what I'm saying, the seriousness of it. If they did not apply the circumcision, they were cut off. Down through the ages, you know, they were given a message, and if they received that message, they were sealed away. But if they rejected that message, they were put under a temporary judgment. It was a war, it was a battle cry going out. I'm here to tell you, there's a word going forth that we can take this word, this propitiation, and we can honor, we can accept and say, God, I want that. I want to do that. That way, when you put me on display, God, you give me the challenge of stepping forward. I want to step forward, but I do not want to be like Vashti. I don't want to be one that says, I'll follow a portion of your word, but don't. I'm not doing this. I'll follow a portion of your word, but I'm not doing these things. I want to be the bride that says, God, I want to do everything this word says. Brother Graham said it this way. If a man preaches something to you and tells you the truth and you get mad at him, there's something wrong with your spirit. Because the Spirit of Christ will say amen to this.
Amen.
That's right. Now, sometimes it'll hurt. Sometimes you think about when a father whips his child or mother whips a child. While you're getting a whipping, you never say, "Boy, I sure am enjoying the blessings of God." But afterwards, when you let your flesh timber down and you begin to think, "Was it right? I know it was wrong." This right here, friends, is all that matters. It don't matter how big your church is. It don't matter how many finances you have. Is your life matching this right? Is it matching what the prophet said? Vashti was put in a position to where she could truly manifest everything that her husband, the king, was. He was a great man. He was a great king. And everybody looked up to him. She was put in a position where she could have done that. But she chose to not die to herself. Not to lay her own life down. Not to lay her own things down. She chose to stay alive. And I'm here to tell you, that's one of the worst things. That is the worst thing. Of a believer is letting the old man stay alive. The old man's got to die.
That's right.
He's got to die. You can't just put him in the closet somewhere. You got that little thing that you're holding on to in this life. You can't be married to Christ, to the Word and the world at the same time. You can't be married to the Word and the denomination at the same time. There's got to be a death. And if you're taking that little thing, a little something. You know if it's in your heart, you feel it right now.
You ever feel a nakedness on inside of a, say there's a plant there, and you got something wrong there, you got someone over, you're going to stand in front of it, you're going to kind of try to cover it, you know. Why? Because you feel naked. You're kind of covered. And if you feel that in your heart right now, that nakedness, you can lay that before the altar right now, before God, right where you're at, and say, Lord, I don't want to carry this thing around. I don't want to hide it in my closet. I don't want to hide it in these things and try to walk good for a couple days and pick it right back up and do the same old thing again. The old man's got to die. You got that old thing that you keep picking up. You'll do good for a little while. You pick it right back up. Why don't you say, God, I want that thing to die.
Amen.
I don't want to pick that up no more.
Amen.
And your victory, you're not looking for emotion. Like Brother Tony said, you don't go about feelings. You take God's word. You think Jesus felt Holy Ghost bumps whenever he said, you destroy this temple in 3 days? I'll build it back.
But he knew it was the word. And you know what? He said, Brother Daniel, I've got these things that I've been holding on to. I've been holding on to them, and I'll do good for a little while, but I keep putting them right back in the closet.
But we want to be when Jesus Christ would come inside your house and search your house. Go to the closets. If you have Brother Tony come to your house, Brother Tony, how many respect Brother Tony?
Mm-hmm.
I respect Brother Tony. Brother, if you said no, much our family respects you. If you would have Brother Tony come into your bedroom, come into your house, go into your car, listen to your radio, how comfortable would you be? If you say, Brother Tony, I want you to take my cell phone. It's unlocked. I want you to take my cell phone, Brother Tony. I want you to look at everything that I've looked at. I want you to look at all the music I've been listening to. I want you to look at all the time that I've been spending.
Right.
How much time would you need to delete a couple?
Right.
And if you feel that way about Brother Tony, how much 10 times more Jesus Christ?
Amen.
If you were to look at that, my tablet has a thing where it says, I had an update here a while back, and you can see your screen times. Your screen time on this was this amount. Your screen time on this was this amount. Can I ask you something? How's your screen time? How's your screen time on the Lord?
Right.
How's your screen time? Because I'm here to tell you, God's calling a bride to stand up on this pedestal right here the last day to be the full manifestation of everything that Jesus Christ is. He's doing it right now. He's calling a bride to come forward. The Pentecostals didn't want to do it. They said, you know what, we'll come. They got it bold enough to say, yeah, we'll come, but we're not going to change anything. I spoke in tongues. I felt the Holy Ghost one time. I know of a man that I showed him with the Word of God, with reverence I must be, showing the Word of what the Word says. He says, yeah, but I understand that, and I see that's right. He says, but I felt anointing on me that time, and I just can't walk away from that. Friends, you've got to make sure the life lines up with the Word. Make sure everything, not by some emotion. Emotions don't save you, and emotions don't lose you. Can I say that again? Emotions don't save you. Emotions don't. You think John the Isle of Patmos felt Holy Ghost bump being burnt in oil?
We make comments about it sometimes. He got a bubble bath. So, oh, praise the Lord. You know. You think Stephen felt Holy Ghost bumps being stoned?
You think Peter felt Holy Ghost bumps being hung up on a cross upside down? He said, I don't feel like I could be hung the way he is. I don't deserve that. It's not about feelings. But it's a respect for God's word. God saw you before the foundation of the world. He saw you. He saw a perfection of you, and he's bringing you to that. And friends, I believe that in our heart, God is calling us to a position to where we can walk, not like the world, but we're walking higher above everybody. Not because we're arrogant, not because you can't live this message. It's God that lives this message. Let's go to our last scripture. Genesis chapter 24, verses 4. Abraham had a promised son that's going to come forth. And we know that's Isaac, but there's another promised son, which is Jesus Christ. Done the words would say this promised child is going to come. This prophet is going to come. Abraham is old of age, and his son needed a wife. And he's talking, he gets Eliezer. He says, Eliezer, I want you to go get me a wife. He says, but thou shalt go into my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Preadventure,
the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be willing not, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Eliezer was given a commission. Eliezer was said, he said, don't you go to the Canaanites to get a wife for my son. Don't you go to these people. You go into my word. You go into my land. You go into somebody that will believe my word. You go there. And the scripture says that he goes there with his camels. And he goes to this well. And as he stands at the well, he prays. He says, God, I am here to get a bride. I am here to get a wife for Isaac. And God, I ask that the angel would come forth. I ask that the angel would stick to the heart, touch the heart of this woman. That whenever this word comes forth, that she'll not only water for me, she'll water my camels also. God, I'm asking you. This was a supernatural election. You say amen? This was God moving. God, this was God choosing a wife that would be willing to follow. And he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, let me bring your son. Let me bring Isaac out here. That way she can look at him and she can observe him and say, well, I don't know if I want to follow you or not. I don't know if I want to follow your husband. I don't know if I want this to be my husband. I don't know if this is who I want to do. Let me bring Isaac with me. And that way I can put him here. And then that way they can make their decision. Abraham said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to ask God to send an angel. And that angel will prepare her heart. That way when you give her the message, she'll follow. When she says, will you come? And he says, but what if she won't follow? He says, if she won't follow, then you are free from this oath. You're free from it. You know what that reminds me of? When you preach this message to somebody and they don't accept it, they don't accept that word, that's blood on them. But if that preacher does not preach that word to them, the blood's on his hands. And when the word's preached, the word is the blood. Absolutely. When the word is preached to us, we have the ability. I can accept this word, or I can not accept it. He's not going to force it on you. You can say, you know what, that's right, I'll follow that. Eliezer was looking for a bride for Isaac. Eliezer did not sell himself. Eliezer didn't talk about him. He didn't talk about himself. All he talked about was Eliezer. All he talked about was the message. All he talked about is how great this guy is. And I'm here to tell you, this right here, friend, this is what the bride's looking at. And I'll say it this way too. Eliezer did not have a relationship with her. The reason I say that, a lot of people look at that. Brother Branham, maybe I'm going to try to make it as lame in terms as I can. Brother Branham was Eliezer. Brother Branham was giving a message. Brother Branham was going out to get a bride. But she did not have a relationship with Eliezer. And this bride does not have that kind of relationship with Brother Branham. That's the truth. In the days of Brother Branham, Brother Branham walked up to the pulpit and he said, you know what? He said, I've never felt more ashamed in my entire life. He said, I've got word today that people were baptizing in my name. I'm here to tell you that's wrong. Brother Branham was a man. He was God's gift for that day, but he was a man. And he was as Eliezer. And Eliezer's job was to take her all the way to Isaac. And she fed those camels, and the same camels that she watered took her all the way out to meet Isaac. And I tell you, when the word was given to you, when the word, just as sure as Mary was going about her daily business that day, she wasn't planning on anything going on, but all of a sudden, she was God's elect for that hour. She was the elected lady
that God chose that you're going to give birth to my child. And the message from an angel come to her. And she said, be it unto me according to thy will. She could have not followed. She could have in herself said, no, I ain't doing it. But there was something inside her that said, amen, I'll follow it. I'll believe it. She was given a message. Vashti was given a message. Will you go and stand on display for the king? Will you do this? She could have done it. But there was nothing inside her to respect the word. There was nothing in her that respected her husband. In this last day, there's a message given to a bride that you're going to go out and you're going to meet Isaac. You're going to meet him in the field. And all I have to give you is this message. I couldn't bring him with me for you. It's the full thing. I couldn't bring the physical manifestation of him. I had to bring the word. That's all I have is the word.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you, when you follow the spoken word, when the word's given, and you hear the spoken word, there's a voice within the voice. There's something, there's a deep call to the deep. Whenever the word is spoken to you, you hear that and you say, I don't know how, I don't know why, but something inside me believes this message, and I believe it's right. And she followed. You know, he gave her gifts, gave her the earring and the bracelet. But she wasn't satisfied with just gifts. She wanted to meet the person. She wanted to meet Isaac. There was something inside her that says, I don't want to stop on my journey. I want to go all the way through. I want to meet Isaac face to face. I want to marry Isaac. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is looking for someone that will marry him.
But it's not just seed just radically thrown out there and say, whoever it lands, that's where it'll be. That's not the way it is. God is precise. He's precision. You know, a farmer, he's planting a field out there. He don't just put seed in there and say, well, I'm just going to let this machine shoot it out. Wherever it lands, that's where it'll be. Farmer don't do that. If he's got any common sense about him, he'd never be successful whatsoever. But this farmer knows how to plant. This farmer knows how to prepare the field. And God knew how to prepare the field for the Rebecca. God knew how to prepare the field. Her heart was prepared because the angel come to her and prepared her heart. And the Lord will prepare your heart when the words come. And when that farmer goes through, he's just not just shooting seed out every crazy. He knows where that seed's going. He knows where every seed's going down the aisle because he knows what he's doing. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ knows where every seed is at. He knows where every word is at. He knows how to prepare the ground. He knows how to prepare these things. God knows what he's doing in your life. Sometimes you'll feel like I'm so far behind. I'm not even close to where I need to be. Or I'm supposed to be on display. I'm not even close to that. I've got mistakes. I've got failures. I've got this. I've got that. How many of you got mistakes? How many of you got failures? Every one of us do. But you know what? You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace.
Amen.
Through faith. That's right. You are saved by grace through faith. You accept the grace of God by faith and say, I am that bride. I am that wife of this word. Not because I feel good. Not because I look good. Not because I don't make mistakes. Not because of things. It's because God gave me his word and I believe it.
Amen.
That's where your victory is, and you believe the message. God gave you a message that you are the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all you've got to do is say, God, forgive me. You make a mistake, God forgive me. You know, Brother Graham talks about it this way. He said the earth has like a rainbow around the world. He said it's a blood all the way around the world. He said you can take the worst sinner on the earth. They are covered by that blood. You can be a prostitute. You can be a bank robber. You can be anything. You can be a lukewarm church member is what I'm going to say. That's me saying that. You can be all these things. And the world has got this blood all the way around it. And you're covered and you're atoned by that blood as long as you are alive. But as soon as you die and your soul leaves this world, then you are going to meet the judgment of God. That's exactly right.
Right.
That's why the person that lives out there that has a needle sticking out of his arm, that's why the person that's the bank robber, that's why the guy that's in prison, that's why all these guys, that's why there's still atonement for them, because they are still in this life. They're still in this earth, and the blood is still around, and it's freely.
Right.
All they've got to do is, I accept that blood. I want that blood. That's my propitiation. I am the worst sinner imaginable. It could be a murderer. It could be one of those boys that shut up the school. As crazy as it sounds, the boy that killed all of them students, the blood of Jesus Christ can reach that boy. You take the worst sinner in this life that goes out and kills people. The blood of Jesus Christ can reach that person. But we as people, we say, no, God won't forgive them. God won't forgive them. We don't know what God will do. We don't know who God's chosen is. Sometimes, you know what? I think it probably surprises us to find out who will be there.
That's right.
You look at a person and say, there ain't no way that person will be in heaven. There ain't no way that person. We sang that song, when we all get to heaven. I'm here to tell you, that's the purpose of everything we do in this life. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ can reach them. If the blood of Jesus Christ can reach a person that's going out and killing people, if the blood of Jesus Christ can reach someone that's out there willingly doing drugs, if the blood of Jesus Christ can reach out and touch all these others, what about you? How big is your problem now?
Right.
There is a blood all the way around us. And everyone's got that blood right now. But when they die, that covering is no longer there. Unless you accept that and say, Lord, I accept that blood. I accept that word. I judge myself. I judge this message to say, that's correct. I believe it. I judge this message to say, you know what, God? You are a just God, and you're going to see me through. I judge myself. In myself, I am unworthy. But because your blood has been given, I accept that. And when I accept that, I am not saying I'm going to be the bride because I didn't make a mistake today. I'm not saying I'm the bride because I feel Holy Ghost bumps today. I accept that I am a bride because God said I am. I don't feel it.
Right. Amen.
You may not see it. You may not hear it. But I'm hearing you. When you accept that word, and you're walking in it, you've got the blood. I have a source of strength when I am weak. I have a source, and that source is none other than the blood of Jesus Christ. My victory is in none other than the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? When I was laying sick in bed, you think I lost my position because I was laying sick in bed? That didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm just as victorious today. You think you're sick? You think you're victorious whenever you lose your job? You ain't got the finances that don't look like you have the finances to pay your bills. And you're going through struggles. You're going through trials. I'm here to tell you, whenever you accept God's word, it don't matter what the condition of this world is on you, you have got the power. You've got the victory, and you are still victorious. And I say that because you don't know what's going to happen in the coming days. We may come tomorrow, me and Brother Tony didn't want to have a job. Thank the Lord we do right now. Thank the Lord. I'm here to tell you, our provider is not Baldor.
Right.
Our provider is not Braden Dodge. God's my provider.
Amen.
And he just chooses to bless Braden Dodge to be my provider.
Right.
God chooses to bless Baldor to provide for Brother Tony.
Right. Amen.
They're the one blessed. Because guess what? When Brother Tony's gone, they're the blessing. And this earth, as long as this bride is here, they can be blessed.
That's right.
But it's not because of us. It's because of this word.
Amen.
But that's the thing about it, brothers and sisters. If we get away from this, we've lost the blessing.
That's right.
That's exactly right. You want your finances to be blessed?
Amen.
Tithes and offerings, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You want God to bless your finances? You say, but Brother Daniel, I've got these bills to do. I've got all these things right here. If I pay my tithes and offerings here, I won't have enough to cover my bills. I'm here to tell you, you put your tithes and offerings first, God will cover the bills.
That's right.
God will bless that 90% minus whatever your offerings are. God will bless that. You imagine having a little bit of finances that's blessed? Which one would you rather have? $5,000 not blessed or $250 that is blessed?
I'll take the $250.
I'm here to tell you, when you're doing that, God will bless your finances. And that's exactly the way this life is. When you put God first, He will bless your life. He will provide. When I say, bless your house, that doesn't mean you're going to have the biggest ranch in Colorado. That doesn't mean you're going to have a three-story cabin. That means you're going to have His presence.
Amen.
And that's what's blessed, brothers and sisters. Because that three-story cabin can be gone. You can have the nicest cabin this earth will ever provide that man could put his hands to. In 50 years, it'll be wore out. Or 100 years, whatever it takes him. You can have the best vehicle money can buy. It'll wear out. You can have the best clothes. It'll wear out. For young boys, you can have all of them muscles. It'll wear out. You just wait. It's coming. I'll look to my boys and say, you just wait, boys. They said, no, it ain't. Okay. Okay. I can remember, Brother Tony, I'm sure you can too. I remember. We felt good. You know, we felt good in our physical strength. Brother Tony and I were putting up the plywood or the drywall up here. We found out real quick how in shape we are. Pushing that up, hands over your shoulders, and all these different things. These hunters, they think they're in shape. Let them pull a deer out of the woods. You'll find out real quick.
That's right.
Because that physical strength will wear off. You young ladies, the prettiest this world's got, all of you, prettiest this world's got, in time, it's going to catch up. 500 years from now, because you all look good. Still do. But you know what? Your beauty, that's going to wear off. Finances going to wear off. Beauty's going to wear off. Strength's going to wear off. Cabins are going to wear off. Our fishing strength is going to wear off. But there's one thing that will not wear off, and that is our position in this Word.
Amen.
It's solid. It's something sure.
Amen.
The economy can collapse. It can go, well, it don't matter. The bride of Jesus Christ is marching on. We're moving forward.
Amen.
I felt so wonderful. I felt so privileged, so honored. The other night, I got to spend some family time with the kids. Minus my boy Dylan. We sure didn't miss him. We took the kids out. Spent some time together and went to a restaurant, and all my children were walking forward. And my wife. They were walking forward, and I could see through the going inside Village End, they were catching the eyes of everybody as they were walking through, and they would smile. Seeing them walking through, beautiful ladies with long hair, conducting themselves like ladies. Boys walking through, conducting themselves like men, like real men. You want to be a real man? Be a godly man. You want to see how big you are? How tough you are? How big is your knees on your jeans? I'm here to tell you, that's where your real victory will come, is how much are you praying?
Amen.
How much are you on your knees? I seen them walking through Village Inn, and all the people were looking at them, smiling at them, and people would talk to me and says, man, give me the fist bump. Because they know that's right. They know that's right. When they see a godly woman walking through there, a godly lady walking through there, they know that's right. They can fuss, they can fight, they can do all they want to, but they know that's right. I remember when I was selling vacuum cleaners. I'm doing the vacuum cleaners, and the motorcycle lady is what I always call her, because there was a motorcycle on the porch, and I walked up there, and I walked up, and I said, I'll give it a try, and door-to-door salesman. I knocked on the door, and this big old burly bike motorcycle rider got into the door, and he said, what are you doing? I can see I'm bothering you. He said, no, come on in. Go inside there, and the pinkest carpet you ever saw in your life. Pink. I'm talking pink. I'm like, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? I sit inside here, and he said, yeah, go ahead and do your demonstration. That's fine, man. He sat back here and had his drink, and part of the demonstration, you got to take some of the sand, you got more sand on the carpet, and you take their vacuum cleaner, and you run it over 50 times, and then you're supposed to humiliate them with that. It's a terrible tactic. Humiliate them with that, and you have a vacuum cleaner, and you put filters on there, and you run three times, and you show how much sand that they missed. Well, I was doing my demonstration. I started to pull the sand out, and I heard a voice meaner than hers, and that was the motorcycle lady. I started pouring that out, and she said, what do you think you're doing? I said, I promise you it'll come out. She said, it better. I said, yes, ma'am. I was doing this illustration, and I felt the presence of God come down. The presence of the Lord so strong, he dropped down in that little living room. And here I was just trying to sell a vacuum cleaner. that presence of the Lord come down, and I just begin to talk. And I'll be honest, I can't remember what all exactly I said. I just felt the words that just come to my mouth and just kind of saying it. Never said a word about women's dress. Never said a word about women's hair. Never said a word about any of those things. That's the honest truth. I didn't remember that. Didn't say anything about it. I turned around and she had tears coming down her face. He had tears coming down his face. And they said, I ain't felt this kind of presence since I was a little girl. And she said, and I looked at her and she said, you know what? She said, I know I'm not supposed to be wearing these pants. I know I'm not supposed to be cutting my hair. It reminds me of Brother Brennan whenever he was in Africa and those women were naked. And they've been walking naked for days, years. But when the presence of God come down, they felt naked. And they began to cover themselves. And the presence of God come down. And these folks, they realized that they were wrong. And I said, I'll tell you what, you don't have to be in a church. I said, you can come back to Jesus Christ right here in your living room. And I prayed for that man and that family to give her heart to the Lord right there in the living room. And they had a little girl that had cross eyes. Her eyeballs were crossed. And I would have never thought this of it. It scared me to death to do it. Words just fell out of my mouth. I said, as a testament of what God's done for you today, His presence here today, I said, I'm going to pray for your little girl and God's going to heal her eyes. And next thing I know, I just put my hands on her and prayed for her. And God's my witness, her eyeballs went perfectly straight right there. God healed that little baby. But it was the presence of God. Several years later, me and my wife, we had to go to Poto. We moved to Arkansas, Alma, Arkansas. We had to go to Poto for something. I can't remember what it was. They were talking to my folks, but we stopped at Walmart. And I hadn't seen those people. They sold their house. They were selling that house. That's why they put the new carpet in. They moved. I'd stopped and gave them tapes. But several years later, my wife and I, we went to Poto Walmart. And I had to walk through, and she said, I'll just stay here. We have little babies. They're crying and fussing. And I think I had to go get something for the baby, matter of fact, formula or something. But I was walking up the deal to Walmart, and I heard someone holler, hey! I didn't think nothing about it. You're at Walmart parking lot. Everyone hollers and talks. And I'm going in there, and this car finally pulled up and said, hey! We're talking to you! And I looked down at this little car, and a clean, shaven man, and a woman with beautiful long hair. He said, you don't even recognize us, do you? And I saw, oh my goodness, is that you? He said, that's us. He said, we're serving the Lord strong, brother. He said, thank you so much. And I said, like, hallelujah, you know.
Man.
Years down the road, and they're still serving the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there's a right way. And the bride, God is calling us to walk in that. And you say, but Brother Daniel, how can I be that? If I was given that opportunity like Vashti to step forward before the king, if I look at myself, I've got failures, I've got faults, I've got all these things. You're holding on to the wrong thing. You hold on to the blood tag. You hold on to that blood and say, Lord Jesus, this is what makes me beautiful. This blood is what makes me who I am. And you stand up on that and you're not holding on to works. You're not holding on to anything. You're holding on to the blood. And the scripture says, you know, they that with patience persevere towards this, eternal life. And you'll automatically start cleaning yourself. Don't worry about not doing those things. Worry about doing the right thing. Say amen. Don't worry about making it. I don't want to make this mistake. I don't want to make this mistake. I don't want to make this mistake. You do that, you'll make mistakes. Don't worry about those. You worry about getting on the blood. You focus on the blood. And when you do that, you automatically start cleaning stuff. These things will take care of themselves. You ever notice in Goshen, he said, you apply the blood. He didn't say, go fix all the windows, fix the doors, fix all these, do this. You apply the blood. And when you apply the blood, you sit with your shoes ready to go, you got your staff in your hand, and you're ready to go. You're focusing on the blood. I'm here to tell you, if we will focus on the blood, the cleaning will take care of itself. Amen. That's exactly right. Because you can't be under the blood and be out in the world. But the old man's got to die. There's got to be a death. He said, Brother Daniel, I want to lay these things down. I say, praise God. How many of you got something you would say, Brother Daniel, I want to lay it down this morning? Amen. You can do it right where you're at. But Tony, you're ready to come, my brother. Just, let's all stand. I stand at the well and I knock. There's a message that says, are you willing to follow all the way? Don't go halfway up the journey. all the way. And if there's things in your life, say, well, Daniel, I don't want these things to die. I'm sick of it. I want it to die. The killer's here. The exterminator's here. You're going to have problems with this old flesh man every day of your life. You can't kill him yet. But you can put him under subjection. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Amen. That's all our heads, but it's on. I want you to sincerely before the Lord and say, Lord, I want that presence. I want that word to carry me all the way through. I want to press all the way. But I don't want my confidence to be in myself. I want to be in this blood, in this message. That way, whenever you put me on that pedestal, God, you're calling me to that. Let me be the proper representation. With every head bowed, I want you to just, if you say, well, Daniel, I need some help. I'm willing to lay these things down. Why don't you just lift up your hand to him and sincerely. And God sees your hands. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're not looking for emotions. We're not looking for hot oil. We're not looking for any of these things, Lord. But we're believing your word, Lord. I ask you to go to these hands that's gone up, Lord. And the ones that were wanting to, but they didn't, Lord. I ask you to knock on those hearts this morning, Lord God. Search our heart, Lord. Go through the kitchen, Lord. Go through the closets. Go to the bedroom, Lord. Lord, if there's anything in our home, anything in our life that we're keeping it alive when it should die, help us, Lord God, this morning. Say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm not letting this thing hold my victory anymore. God, I ask you to go right now, knock on every heart, Lord. Lord, may your blood come down, Jesus, that we can just accept it and say, Lord, I accept that propitiation. I'm going to honor it, Lord God, and I'm going to serve you. Lord Jesus, I ask you, have your way in this service, Lord. As we begin to start to go to the song, the music service, Lord, I ask every key that will be stroking that guitar, Lord, every string, Lord, that will be picked, Lord, every word that will be sang, may that Holy Ghost reign be able to come down upon the seat that's been preached this morning, Lord, to bring forth your life. We love you this morning. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're certainly welcome to come forward. If you need us to pray for you, you're welcome to. Ask Brother Tom to come.
Amen. How many can say amen? Good to have Brother Daniel back in the saddle again. Appreciate what you heard. You know, we have this phrase that you've heard, that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. A lot of truth to that. You know, we're our worst enemy. We look in the mirror, you know, we see all of our failures and our faults and those sorts of things. You think that he doesn't see that? You think he doesn't know that? But beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And who are we to question him? If he looked at us and then knowing everything about us and all of our failures and faults and everything, and yet he chose us and chose to share his word with us, who are we to question him? So the best thing we can do is say, you know what? I don't see what he sees in me, but he sees something in me, and he's the greatest one. He's the only one that's worthy of praise and worship. And so you know what? If he sees something in me, I'm going to let him have me.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what you do. You just do that. And so I kind of chuckled when Brother Daniel was talking about the way he proposed to Sister Vicky. Lord, I didn't do much different, brother. But I want to tell you something. It worked.
Amen.
Your proposal worked.
Yeah.
And all these years later, it's still working.
Amen.
Because it isn't always in the glorious, romantic whatever, but is it really that match? Is that really there?
Yes.
And we may not have the most dynamic service or the most dynamic experiences in our life that people would look at and say, oh, that's awesome, but is there a match there?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a match between you, the word in your heart, and him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Brother Daniel mentioned how that Abraham would send Eliezer back to get that wife from the same place that Isaac come from.
Yes.
And we've got to receive that.
Yes.
That God, when he got ready to find a wife for Jesus Christ, he didn't go out here in the world, he didn't go out here in the denominations, out here in main systems of trying to find a wife for Jesus Christ. he went and found a wife for Jesus Christ from the same place that Jesus came from,
mm-hmm.
right out of the spoken word of God.
Yeah.
So that bride is spoken word, and therefore she's word of God. She cannot fail.
That's right.
Amen. And so listen to what the message, listen to what the things tell us. Brother Bram talked about the pond lily, one of the greatest, most beautiful flowers to him. You know, maybe you would look at it and say, well, maybe it's not so beautiful. But what was so beautiful to him was what it had to go through
mm-hmm.
to be able to come up through all that muck and all that mire and come out on top. And he's talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through all kinds of things and we get fixated on the muck and the mire. But God's looking at the beauty of the character in there that we push through everything that Satan would try to put upon you. To push all the way through every bit of that and come out showing his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was awesome what Brother Daniel said there when he was talking about Sister Vicki coming to his work. Now, Brother Daniel, you know, we know him. We know he shares and he has a testimony among people and there. And so we know, you know, what his people that he worked with had heard and what they had experienced in his testimony. But it was so wonderful to hear that everything he had told them about his wife, when she walked in, they could see it.
Yeah.
She didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to go in and say, I'm Brother Daniel's wife. She just walked in and they saw it.
That's right.
And the world knows, Brother Daniel, like you said, the world knows what's right.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's right.
Yeah.
And all we've got to do is come forth in this end time and be what he said we are. The thing he's put in us. And just show that we're in love with Jesus Christ, the
yes.
Word. They'll see it. We'll be testified.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so I just thought that was really, really wonderful. You know, God picked Mary out of the lowest city out there to bring forth his seed. And we're from the lowest.
Yes.
But he's come to us. Amen. So that just is wonderful to us. Amen. We'll sing a song. I'll torture you one more time. God's good to us, though.
Amen.
You know, I was telling Brother Daniel texting the other day, and I told him, I said, and I don't remember if I mentioned this or whatever, but I've had requests for quite some time about doing some marriage services on marriage, and I was telling Brother Daniel that I wanted to get started on that pretty soon and have a series of services on basically marriage enrichment and that sort of thing. And I was thinking, well, Brother Daniel laid a pretty good foundation this morning getting started on it. You know, that was, I don't think he meant to do that, but that's the way it works. So it kind of shows you that the Holy Spirit, that's in his mind. And I'll tell you something. We got a lot of young people. And if the Lord tears their lives in front of them, then they need to make the right decisions. Because that's one single, you know, the best decision you can make is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next decision after that is that God be your guide to help you find the right one,
yes.
the right wife, the right husband.
Amen.
Because you pull the trigger on that and it's not right, your life is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
There was no justification in this life if you picked the wrong one. Because it pulls the trigger on things and you can't reverse it. You've heard me say so many times, once you birth something, it's birthed. You can't get rid of it.
That's right.
Right? And it's best to do things right up front so that you don't birth something. Because once it's birthed, you got to deal with it. That's what's wrong out here in the world. In our nation, they begin to believe lies. They believe a lie.
That's right.
And it tied to Scripture because they didn't have pleasure in the righteousness, in the Word. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Then God said, okay, and because you don't stay with the Word, now you start believing lies. And they started believing lies, and now they just can't believe that there'd be fraud in the election. They just can't believe that the doctors and all the things that's going on out there, they just can't believe everything's all right and everybody's all about doing what's right for everybody else. They just can't see it. And you know what's happened? Because it started out something, and then it got birthed. Now they got birthed into an anointing, and you can't just shake that off. They can't just shake off and say, "Oh, I'm going to believe it now,"
mm-hmm.
because now they're anointed with it.
That's right.
They're birthed, and that's the way it is in our life. We want to make sure that when we go forward, when something's birthed in our life, it's something we live with.
Yes.
It's something that's godly. It's something that will last. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, I was going to say, you know, I want to get started on that pretty soon. And I don't know, maybe we might just every other weekend maybe do a service. But I will say this. I want everybody here. There are no services. I want everybody here.
Yeah.
And I really don't even want them at home streaming. By the way, Brother Tim mentioned this when we started streaming. And this is true. Streaming is not something to take place of the fact that you could be here.
That's right.
You be here. And so if you do that, and streaming, like today, we have people that can't be here because of weather. That's what it's for.
That's right.
If you can't be here, that's fine. But don't you play hooky and say, well, I'll just stay home and do that. But especially during these services, because I want to cover these things. It's good it's for us to hear these things coming from the Word and put marriage and our relationships and life's battles in the perspective of God's Word and what He's got for us. And if we do it His way, you'll be much more victorious in life.
Yep.
And you'll have great things. And so I'm trying to figure out a song to sing here. Let's sing This Is the Evening Time. Let's see. You bear with me. This is the evening time, it's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to be. All things are ready now, the bridegroom I hear. And I'll just say this to let you go. let you go. Evening time, supper is the last meal of the day. This is the last message that God's going to give to the Gentile bride before he takes her home.
That's right.
And after this message is done and you enter into rest, you're going to rise up on a new day.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.